This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:05. It's great to have you with us for this chilly noon business hour on this Wednesday afternoon. I'm Cisco Cotto.
I'm Chris Kreidel, and that wind chill warning is going to extend through noon tomorrow. Right now at O'Hare, the temperature is minus 19, and the wind chill index makes it feel as if it's minus 45.
The noon business hour is presented by Old Second Bank. Let's kick things off with an update of Wall Street. At Bloomberg, here's Elisa Parenti.
Cisco and Chris, we're less than an hour away from a Fed decision, although most analysts think a rate hike this round would be highly unlikely. The Dow is up 326 points, NASDAQ gaining 95, and the S&P higher by 24. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index also in the green. We did get a positive report on job growth from payroll processor ADP. For the fourth month of five, job creation rose above 200,000. It was the case again this month. Apple and Boeing posted quarterly results that have their investors cheering. That's lifting Wall Street. McDonald's has seen both gains and losses. Right now, it's up about a tenth of a percent. The fast food chain has been fighting slowing growth in the U.S. with promotions and new breakfast items, and it's seen limited success. In the latest quarter, the Golden Arches finds comp store sales in the U.S. up 2.3%, just shy of the estimates. Globally, the news was better, topping projections with a 4.4% comp sales growth. Bottom line earnings for McDonald's better than expected. Back to you, Cisco and Chris.
Thanks, Elisa. Some of these stories that we're going to be talking about today, Apple earnings lifting Wall Street and Boeing shares fly.
David Jones will join us as we expect an announcement from the Fed a little after 1 o'clock our time today. Fed expected to hold rates steady, but we'll get some guidance going forward.
Investing 60 minutes each weekday toward planning for the future, the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Well, Foxconn appears to be scaling back the plans for its huge plant in Wisconsin. We're going to cover that in our next segment. But right now, everybody's talking about it. Chicago area is not at a standstill because of the weather, but activity is definitely slowed down. Let's talk about the impact on business with Matt Mategan, CEO at Blue World Asset Managers here in Chicago. Welcome back to the Noon Business Hour, Matt. This morning, I was on Michigan Avenue coming to work. Usually there would be big backups there, but probably 20 cars. And this is during the drive time, during the morning hours. So a lot of that going on today.
Sure. The phrase you use, I was on Michigan Avenue headed to work this morning, certainly makes you an overwhelming exception. It is. It's very, very quiet out there. And to put this in a little bit of perspective, weather events can range from innocuous to disruptive to paralyzing. And what's really, really unusual about this case is we just came off a significantly disruptive event, and now we're experiencing an event that is at the extreme of disruptive to nearly paralyzing. Those things stacked on top of each other, we cannot overstate the impact on the local and in fact, national economy based on this. Some of the hardest hit locally, of course, are food service businesses, especially those that cater to bringing lunches into Chicago businesses, the walk-in traffic. Retail, of course, is hurt. And probably less obvious are things like logistics. That because of the cold, a lot of these trucks and trains that deliver products are simply not moving, and that's going to cause a backlog in logistics. And then, of course, the disruption to personal travel. Even when we're talking about, though, a broad-based blanket over the economy like this, there are still some pockets of winners. And a couple that come to mind today would be any of your online Streaming services that bring entertainment into the home are going to do very well today. Movie rental, game rental, things like that. HVAC and plumbers, they're going to be busy for weeks because of this. And auto insurance companies love it when nobody is driving down Michigan Avenue. So they're actually going to get a little bit of an offset from the bad experience they had with the snow earlier in the week.
It's interesting that we had major climate events in 1985 and 1995 here in Chicago. That's 24 years. So there's a group of people who haven't been through something like this, Cisco.
Right. And I would argue that in cases walking down the street and or in conversation, it's pretty easy to tell who those people are.
Yeah.
Because the first thing I hear is, I have never seen it like this before. Well, you know, we certainly have, but it doesn't happen very often.
Yeah, they're also the ones not bundled up very well, too. They're pretty easy to spot. Yeah, right.
It has become a thing in Chicago where a hoodie has come to count as a winter coat. That doesn't work today.
Not at all. Talk about utilities. Obviously, people are watching different streaming services, playing video games, and being at home with humidifiers and heaters cranking. The utility companies are getting a kick out of this.
There will very definitely be a spike in the activity and revenue of the utility companies. And it's not just going to be the delivery of the products that they do. There is going to be a boost within the community that has to go out and service the infrastructure. You were just talking about before the segment about there are trains that aren't running because the wires are down. Well, somebody's got to go fix those, and that's overtime. So, we can't overstate just how broad-based the impact of something like this is.
And it seems like it's going to go on for several more days, so the impact will just keep going. Thanks, Matt Mategan, CEO, Blue World Asset Managers, his blog, blueworldam.com. Coming up, the highly sought Foxconn facility could prove to be less of a big deal than originally expected.
Because money matters. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Taiwan-based Foxconn Technology Group says it's making adjustments in all of its projects, including the one in southern Wisconsin, and they say it's all because of changes in the global marketplace. Let's learn more from Mark Gurman, consumer technology reporter at Bloomberg, based in San Francisco. Mark, so what exactly is Foxconn saying? What kind of changes is it thinking about?
Well, Foxconn is looking at employment changes particular to this Wisconsin plant that President Trump and the U.S. government has been touting. Originally, it was supposed to employ 13,000 people, and the idea was for this Foxconn facility in Wisconsin to develop LCD panels. These are the screens that go inside of TVs, but basically they're saying they would be shifting some of the hiring away from that. That doesn't mean the plant won't open. It doesn't mean they're not going to do that hiring. It just means that it's not going to be for this original LCD-related plan.
Foxconn, I mean, big successful company. It doesn't seem odd that they wouldn't have figured out what the cost of producing these LCDs would be. I mean it shouldn't be a surprise to them about how expensive it's going to be.
Yeah, it's not surprising. I mean, but if you look at the long-term view of the technology landscape, it's possible that they don't see the need for these LCDs at all. If they're moving to a different type of technology, they could choose to develop other technology that's going to be more preeminent in both the near term and the far term out of this Wisconsin plant.
So what they're saying is the smartphone market, TV market, there's less demand than they had figured?
Yes. So right now it appears that the LCD market maybe could be facing less demand. So I think it's a combination of factors between that and the global economy as well.
Have they already hired, or are they going to be telling people you're not going to be working after all?
You know, it doesn't appear that they've already had hiring in place or there's been a lot of people. It doesn't appear that there's a layoff-related situation or anything like that. I don't think they're there yet.
How much of this has to do with the slowdown in China in a variety of areas? Obviously, Apple's been hit by that, but other companies as well.
Right. I mean, Foxconn is based in, you know, Taiwan, but its primary operations are in China. So it's very likely, I would say, actually, to your great point, that perhaps some of the slowdown there contributed to them trying to rethink their investments globally, which led to this decision today.
Seems like this decision is a little thorny, giving everything that was given to them in order to get the plant in Wisconsin. A lot of political back and forth. Probably going to be some pressure on Foxconn to at least do something in Racine County.
Yeah, and it seems highly likely at this point that they still will do something. The question is, what is that something? What we do know is it doesn't look like it's going to be those LCDs.
Mark Gurman, thanks for the info. Mark is consumer technology reporter at Bloomberg. Still ahead, Personal Finance Wednesday, teaching kids about financial responsibility.
WBBM News Time, 12:25. Business is sponsored by FinishingChicago.com. And here's Elisa Parenti.
Chris, we are 30 minutes away from a Fed announcement. The expectation is there will be no move to rate hikes, but we'll keep you posted on that front. Meantime, not quite the gains we saw earlier in the session, but the Dow is still higher by 290 points or more than 1%. NASDAQ up 90 and the S&P gaining 22. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg has slipped lower into the red. Corn could become something of a safe haven for farmers. There's potential for greater profit from corn compared with soybeans in key regions such as central Illinois, as farmers feel the pain from fewer soybean exports as a result of the trade tensions with China. Now, negotiators from China are meeting with top administration officials in Washington. We will also keep you posted on any developments on the trade front. Crude oil futures higher by about 2.5% to $54.61 a barrel. Now let's turn to Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal. Pete?
We've had mixed prices here. Corn's been up as much as 4 to unchanged. We're up 2. Beans have been up as much as 6 to down 2. And wheat down 2 to up 3.75. Wheat at the present's down 1.25. Beans are up 0.5 to 1. And corn up 2. And in the last year, bean yields were so good that beans were more profitable than corn in lots of the Midwest. And this is Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal.
Thanks, Pete. With business at 25 and 55, live from Bloomberg, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 12:30. Good afternoon. I'm Cisco Cotto.
I'm Chris Kreidel, and these are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
Stocks are gaining ground today. We'll see what's moving the markets.
Personal Finance Wednesday, strategies to help children learn to be responsible with money.
The Fed is scheduled to release its decision on interest rates in about a half hour.
Closings and cancellations are numerous as record cold places an icy bite on the Chicago area and most of the Midwest.
On Wall Street, the Dow up 289 points. NASDAQ is up 90. S&P up 22. Oil today is up right about 2.5%. It is very, very cold in Chicagoland as our high today, just 12 below zero. Wind chills well below that throughout the day. Right now, 18 below at O'Hare. At Midway, it's 17 below. Along the lakefront, 16 below zero. A wind chill makes it feel like 44 below. The Noon Business Hour is presented by Old Second Bank.
Markets are rallying today. We're joined by Jack Ablin, Chief Investment Officer at Crescent Wealth Advisors here in Chicago. Welcome back to the very cold Noon Business Hour. Everybody else is too. Good afternoon, Jack. Thanks for joining us. What do you see in the markets today?
Sure. At least, the markets are warming things up with a lot of great news. We started off with a couple of earnings reports, one last night from Apple. While they did follow through and fall short of their revenue and profit targets, a lot of that was already priced in because of the announcement, the pre-announcement made late last year. I think the management is kind of laid out a plan for Apple to really pick up some of the slack on services. I think that combined with perhaps news that wasn't quite as bad as investors had expected helped boost the stock today. I think Apple, the second highest stock in the top 100, up over 5%. Boeing, also a local favorite, did a great job and actually increased their outlook and forecast, and that stock's up nearly 7% today. And the company hit a milestone, hit $100 billion revenue mark. which is great news for a local company.
Following up on Apple, amazing that, I mean, in general, it wasn't necessarily good news. I mean, it's everything that you say that we thought it was going to be. iPhone sales down, barely beats on earnings. What was it that has Wall Street loving the stock today?
I think, one, it's really just news relative to expectations. That's generally how things operate, Cisco. And given that expectations were really ratcheted lower late last year when, Tim Cook pretty much talked down the revenue and profit forecast, blaming China for a lot of it. The stock had since been punished, so I think this is sort of more of a washout to say it appears that all of the bad news in the stock is now factored in and probably behind it.
And what do we see in overseas trade?
Yeah, overseas, still pretty supportive. Let me take a look here. We've got the dollar up a little bit. Here it is. Dollar incrementally stronger, but we do have strong gains in Europe, up over 1%. Nikkei off a little bit, but remember, they pretty much closed before we came in, so they'll likely rally back tomorrow. Good news all around.
How important is it for investors that the Fed does not raise rates today? If somehow it ends up raising rates, what would that do?
Well, that's a really ticklish situation because I believe that investors, the market has really kind of gotten accustomed to artificially low rates, and the Fed was trying to move rates back to what they believe and what I believe would have been historical norms relative to history. But the problem is because of how risk takers perceive it, those rates were probably too high. So it puts the Fed in somewhat of a bind because it just seems like they have to keep rates artificially stimulative just to keep this market going. Is the Fed really data dependent or are they market dependent? And that's kind of that quandary. I mean, the good news is we're not seeing inflation. So, I would say if we start to see some pricing pressure, then I'm going to get a little concerned about the direction of equities.
If one of our listeners wanted to know where should I look to invest, what would you tell them at this point?
Sure. So generally, first of all, I wouldn't buy 1 ounce of equity unless I had probably a 7-year time horizon. So I think at least by historical standards, equity valuations are, within striking distance of fair value. My view is the small caps and small cap value in particular has kind of trailed as everyone has piled headlong into index funds and ETFs, and that tends to push the larger, the FANG type names up. So I would probably push for a small cap value strategy. That probably stands a chance of outperforming the market over the next 5 to 7 years.
Now that it seems like the benefits of the tax cut are pretty much all in and accounted for, is that going to present a challenge over the next, say, 12 to 18 months? You're just not going to have the growth in place specifically because of the tax cuts.
And that's really that, Cisco, combined with the potential for a tightening Fed, was really what was behind a lot of that market move that we saw, the downdraft that we saw late last year. The comparisons are going to be difficult. If we look at earnings projections, for example, into Q2, Q3 of this year, we're looking at something like mid-single digits, which compared to 26% last year is pales by comparison. But I have to keep in mind, we have to keep in mind that slowing growth is not the same thing as contraction. And I think equity investors were anticipating some kind of a contraction, and I don't believe, at least based on my vantage point, I don't see a contraction out there. I do see slowing growth back to what I'll call longer-term norms.
Thank you for the conversation, Jack Ablin, Chief Investment Officer at Crescent Wealth Advisors here in Chicago. Up next, Personal Finance Wednesday, teaching kids to value money.
Cashing in with conversation.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Personal Finance Wednesday. This afternoon, we're putting the spotlight on children and money. We welcome Craig Bolanos, founding partner and chief executive officer at Wealth Management Group in Inverness. Craig, as I look at this list in front of me, one of the things that fascinates me is the idea of taxing some of what your kids get, whether that's a paycheck. Obviously, they're going to get that in their first paycheck. If it's allowance, parents should actually take a little bit of back and say that it's tax.
100% correct. You know it. I said it. I want us, mom and dad, to start teaching the lessons that we're going to tax a little. I mean, people need to learn at an early age. You should learn at an early age that you don't get to keep everything that you make. And if we as parents, from day number one, start withholding a little bit of money, acting as the government, I think it's going to teach an invaluable lesson. Now, of course, we should eventually give that money back to the kids, but I want to tax the children a little bit from day one.
Oh, here I thought you were going to tell me I could put that into my account.
No.
All right. In that sense, if you do it, then you don't have that surprise that a lot of kids get when they get that first job and they look at that first check and they go, hey, wait a minute, what happened to my money?
Because we've all had that. I mean, all of us can go back to the very first job we had, and we counted out the number of hours we worked. We multiplied it by our hourly wage, and no one prepped us for the fact that we were going to pay these taxes. So if we can introduce it now with babysitting, with other things, I think everyone's going to be a little bit better prepared. And that brings up our second point. Let's talk about spending money.
Okay, so we tax a little, and now we spend a little. Where do we spend it?
We got to spend a little. And I think what I want to do is I want to make sure we reward work. I want to make sure that when our kids get off their butts to make a buck, that it doesn't just go in a savings account. I want them to buy some of those things. And what we've always done with our kids is we've talked about, hey, we, mom and dad, we're here to provide for all of your needs, but you're going to have to provide for some of your wants. And we've encouraged them to go out, work, generate money, and then use some of that money to buy things, video games, whatever it might be. But we make them buy them in cash. We don't simply buy them with our credit cards and have the children pay us cash. We make them physically go to the store and do the transaction on their own.
I don't know, Craig, if my parents had taken all the money I got from my paper route when I was a kid and put it in the S&P, I'd be a lot better off now.
I think that's good advice as well.
All right, so what about, so you spend a little, you also tax a little. What about saving?
Well, I think that's just it. And this is different for kids at different ages. The youngest of children, and I'm talking about kindergarten, first grade, second grade, I think saving should be visible. It should be in a clear plastic translucent container where it just creates some excitement because they see how they can fill that container with coins and dollars. And then as the kids start getting into middle school, it should really be about taking them to the bank and opening up that savings account. And then once the kids get to high school, before they ever go away to college, we need to get them set up with a checking account, a debit card, and for those that show interest, I like what you just said, let's get them a investment account where they can start putting some money away longer terms into things like the S&P 500.
Okay, so we tax a little, we spend a little, we save a little, and finally we give a little.
Yes, that is oftentimes the part that's the most elusive. But I think if we can instill, and we can do this, there's opportunity. If we can instill a little bit of philanthropy in our children, it's not just going to make them better. It's going to make the world a better place. And each of us can find ways to do that, whether it's dropping some money in the Red Cross kettle, whether that's having the children take some money and buy a toy for Tot at the end of the year. But anything we can do to challenge our kids to do a little bit of philanthropy in their own way, I think just makes everybody better at the end of the day.
Craig Bolanos, always good to have you on the show. Craig is founding partner and chief executive officer at Wealth Management Group in Inverness. This time tomorrow, Technology Thursday. Still to come, a preview of this afternoon's Fed announcement.
a wealth of information for managing your money. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
The Noon Business Hour is sponsored by Elmhurst BMW. Federal Reserve is wrapping up its latest two-day meeting with the announcement on interest rates in about 10 minutes. We're joined by David Jones, chairman of DMJ Advisors, author of the book Understanding Central Banking. And David is out of Denver. There's some speculation, David, that the Fed is going to walk back a statement that the Fed chair made in December.
Well, the news today is actually going to be no change in rates. And I think the Fed has been trying to make up for, I think what I would say would be some rookie mistakes by the Fed chairman. And I think the main mistake that was made was to suggest that the Fed would go ahead with normalizing interest rates, pushing them higher in 2019, without paying much attention to the market, which was in a state of collapse in December. The bottom line is the Fed has now said we're going to think about it with regard to whether we have any rate hikes at all. Remember, in December, the Fed was bidding on two more rate hikes. That shook up the market a lot. My view would be no more than one at most. And for now, the Fed's just going to pause and think about it.
Is there a communication problem here?
Yes. I think I said the last time we got together, I respect the Fed chairman. I like his general approach, but he truly made some rookie mistakes. He said in October of last year when the market was at an all-time peak that the Fed had a long way to go to get to what he called neutral on the funds rate. That shook up the market, and it came down from that peak. And then the Fed chairman went ahead and said we're going to raise rates 2019. Two times. That shook up a market that was already in bad shape. I think the Fed's backing away from those kinds of comments. And then they got into a big debate over the Fed balance sheet. All of that comes to the bottom line, which says the Fed is going to pause and the Fed's going to think about it. And as I say, I think at most one rate hike maybe in June, but not even that is a certainty.
Well, we'll get a little bit more information coming up in about a half an hour or so. David Jones will join us at the top of the show tomorrow with analysis of the Fed decision and also Chairman Jerome Powell's comments. David, we'll talk to you again tomorrow. David is chairman of DMJ Advisors. Bloomberg checks the markets next as they are soaring. WBBM News Time 12:55, a check of the markets from Bloomberg, sponsored by Baird. Here's Elisa Parenti.
Well, Cisco, we still have gains of 1% or better for the Dow and NASDAQ. The blue chips adding 251 points. NASDAQ on the rise by 89 and the S&P up 20 points. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index lower by 0.1%. So Wall Street is on the advance after reassuring earnings reports from Boeing and Apple. Boeing sales for 2018 soared to a record $100 billion. And Apple showed it can make money by selling services, including Apple Pay and Apple Music, rather than just by selling iPhones. Apple stock is up 5.5%. It is boosting its market cap by a cool $40 billion on the day. Still, Apple is some ways off that $1 trillion valuation it attained in the fall. Today, it's holding just shy of $770 billion. And United is joining most of its rivals, now offering free entertainment on flights. The carrier previously charged between $6 and $8 a flight for those not in first class. United says its DirecTV service will be available on more than 200 of its 737s. With business at 25 and 55, live from Bloomberg. Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.